a much bigger enthusiasm and dynamism to working class struggles. We have seen, for instance, in France, since 2 years, a whole series of extremely explosive strikes in the provinces, the last of which was the strike in Caen, amongst which very young workers, workers of the lowest age group, 17, 18, 19 years, have played a very important role, sometimes even unorganized, not even members of unions, have played a very important role in radicalizing, using much stronger and more dynamic forms of struggle than the traditional ones of the traditional leaderships, and of working in that sense, of acting in that sense, really as a kind of motor to bring the whole movement to a higher level. And the third and final question to which I would like to devote a few minutes is the attempt or the question how we can exploit the inner contradictions of capitalism in its present stage in the imperialist countries for a revival of socialist consciousness and a revival or a strengthening of the new revolutionary leadership of the working class which we try to build. I do not want to go into many aspects of this question. It could be the subject of a lecture in itself. I would like to limit myself to two concrete aspects of it. One is the effects of automation and the tremendous transformations automation operates inside the composition of the working class on working class militants. There are many reasons for the upsurge of the American Negro movement. There are many reasons for the militancy and the radicalism of the Negro youth today in the United States, but we would not be Marxists, we would not be materialists if we would not understand that one, at least one of these reasons is the very fact that amongst unskilled or semi-skilled youth today in the United States, you have a degree of unemployment which is comparable to that of the Big Depression. You have amongst the Negro youth of the United States an unemployed percentage which is around 20%, which is somewhere between 18 and 25% according to the year, fluctuates between these two limits, which means an extremely high percentage. Percentage comparable in reality to the percentage of a real deep depression period. The causes of this are, of course, at the one hand, automation, and at the other hand, the whole rotten system of racial discrimination in education, which keeps the mass of the American Negro youth into these jobs of completely lack of skill or very low level of skill. But this means that the economic process, which has reduced the number of jobs for unskilled labor in the United States in the last 15 years, from 13 million to 3.5 million, the number of unskilled workers in the United States have been reduced from 13 million to 3.5 million in the last 15 years, that this tremendous economic transformation has had very deep and important social and political consequences, which for the specific reasons of the American society have been, at least in the first stage, especially concentrated amongst the Negro and the young Negro population. But a similar movement is today acting already, operating already, or starting to operate already in the imperialist countries of Western Europe. For the first time, the small recession of the last 2 years has recreated a certain permanent pool of mass unemployed in most of the Western European countries. We have calculated several times that there is something like 3 million, a little bit over 3 million unemployed today in Western Europe, situation which we have not known since the beginning of the Second World War. And a big part of these 3 million unemployed which you have today in Western Europe are technological or structural unemployed whose reintegration in the productive process, at least in the immediate future, is extremely unlikely. And here also you have an element which is significant and which is parallel to that of the United States, that a growing percentage of this mass of unemployed are young unemployed, are youth, who, because of the structure of the education system, have not been educated for the types of jobs which today are available in capitalist society. So you have there, around the problem of automation, of appearing unemployment, a whole series of problems and of possibilities for a socialist movement which can develop transitional demands which lead to struggles which create situations of rupture, of break inside the capitalist system. And the other main factor on which I want to insist is, of course, the need, the unavoidable need for the capitalist society to have an incomes policy. I have predicted many years before it happened that an incomes policy would be introduced in Britain. If I'm not mistaken, the first time I made a lecture at Oxford and at Cambridge University was in 1961-62, and already at that time I told the students present that in the next 5 years the central problem of social struggles in Britain would be the attempt of the capitalist class to introduce an incomes policy. You can prove this very easily because of the operation, the mechanics of neo-capitalism today everywhere in the world. The opposition to this incomes policy cannot remain purely defensive, purely old-fashioned trade unionism, to say we want to have the right to wage negotiations. This is of course necessary, but insufficient. As most of the comrades present know, I am convinced that one of the main answers to this must be a campaign for a struggle for workers' control, for opening the books of the employers, for laying open the truth about prices, wages and profits, campaign which tries to mobilize the working class to concentrate its efforts on the main basis of power of the capitalist class, is to say its control over the means of production and over labor in the factories. And we are convinced that in the framework of such a campaign, if a revolutionary tendency is operating and if the question of political unification and political culmination of this struggle in the struggle for a socialist leadership and for political power is posed, tremendous momentum can be developed, which would completely renew and put on a higher base the possibilities of implementing concretely in day-to-day struggle, a struggle for socialism and workers' power in the imperialist countries.
Before proceeding to questions, I just call upon Ernie Tate to make a few remarks. I must say, before he starts, we have a bit of a problem with the time, and I think I'll have to confine the discussion part just to questions which can be answered all at the end. Otherwise, there'll be no possibility for people putting a point to you at all. I'm advised that it may be possible that we have more time than I thought. But what I propose is that if people have questions, all these questions are answered together, otherwise an undue amount of time is taken up. If, are there people with any direct questions? And if you could make it very brief, any direct questions? No? Anybody want to make a comment as short as it's possible for them to make their point there? Any? Yeah.